The Bible is the most widely published book since the invention of the printing press. You've probably got at least one Bible right in your very own home. But do you really understand the Bible? A lot of folks wish that they could make sense out of the Bible. What about you? Do you wish that you understood the Bible better? Well, stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, John O'Gwen explores making sense of the Bible. And now, John O'Gwen.
Well, greetings, friends. How would you like to really be able to make sense out of the Bible? You know, 90% of the homes in the United States and Canada contain one or more Bibles. The Bible has been translated into far more languages and dialects than any other book in mankind's history. Now, what really is the Bible? Is it simply mankind's search for God, or is it, as it purports to be, God's revelation to man? You know, the Bible makes some very strong claims for itself. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is God-breathed. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is not simply a human book. It was directly inspired by God Almighty. In Psalm 119 and verse 160, your word is true from the beginning, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Who is it that really understands and reads the Bible with understanding? The Bible really is a foreign book to many people, said Lonnie Cleaver, professor and chairman of religious studies at Southern Methodist University. It's very difficult to study the Bible. It's very easy to use the Bible as a kind of anthology of inspirational sayings, like a dictionary of great ideas. That's not the real character of the Bible. A recent survey indicates that the average American owns a Bible, respects and swears allegiance to the Bible, but just doesn't really read the Bible. Now, what about it, my friends? Are you one that has a Bible? You respect the Bible? Perhaps you cherish the Bible. Do you really read the Bible? Do you find it difficult to read because you find it difficult to understand? In a survey conducted by the Barna Group, 80% of respondents said that they consider the Bible to be the most influential book in human history. More than 90% of households surveyed own a Bible. 3 out of 4 own more than one. But 19% of those surveyed said they never read it. 26% of those surveyed said they rarely read it. What many people are buying and presumably reading is a plethora of books about the Bible, but not actually the Bible itself. Many religious people, including many ministers and even those studying for the ministry, really don't know very much about the Bible. They may have read books about the Bible, but they often haven't really read the Bible itself. Now notice this statement from the dean of a highly respected theological seminary. The Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville teaches some of the most committed Baptists, yet there are no guarantees of a mastery of Bible knowledge. 2 years ago, only one in a class of 50 incoming students could list the Ten Commandments said Danny Aiken, dean of the School of Theology. It's not unusual for an incoming Baptist student to have trouble naming the books of the Bible in order, he said. What about you? Do you personally know and understand the Bible as well as you would like? If you believe the Bible to be God's Word, God's book, doesn't it seem important to get better acquainted with it? You know, many people are intimidated by the Bible. After all, it's a big book. How do you get started? Well, if you really want to read the Bible and understand it, you'd better start off by setting aside a definite time and place where you can concentrate. Have the time to sit down and read and study. Also, if you aren't already pretty familiar with the Bible, it would probably be better to start with a newer translation rather than with the old King James. I'd recommend the new King James. It contains the accuracy of translation of the original King James and the readability of a modern, more up-to-date language. If you really want to make sense of the Bible, I'm going to give you 7 keys. Do you know what the single most important key to understanding the Bible is? Very simple. Key number 1. It is the attitude in which you actually approach the Bible. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 66 in verse 2, as God talks about the one to whom he will look, "To this man will I look, says the Lord. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and that trembles at my word." One who has that deep respect and awe for the word of God. One who approaches God in that humble, teachable way. Jesus Christ emphasized that same point in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus Christ was talking about those who would actually understand the message that he was bringing. He said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25, "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes." He wasn't talking about babies in age. He was talking about those who have that simple, childlike, teachable attitude. That's the first key. The attitude in which you approach the Bible. Key number 2 is simply the importance of obeying God. The importance of obedience is summed up in Psalm 111 and verse 10. Here we're told by the psalmist as to who it is that will really understand God's Word. Psalm 111 verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments." You can't understand God's Word. You can't have a good understanding if you don't do His commandments. So Daniel spoke back in Daniel chapter 12 about, again, those who would understand the Bible. And he makes a distinction between those that he labels as the wicked who will not understand and the wise who will. Notice in Daniel chapter 12, verse 10, "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Now, we just got through seeing in Psalm 111, verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it is only those who have that attitude and who are willing to obey that will really understand the Bible. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 7 that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5 explained that there are many who have a form of religion, but they deny the authority thereof. They don't really obey what God said. Luke chapter 10 provides a very interesting illustration of what happens when you don't have a spirit and an attitude of obedience. In Luke chapter 10, we read the story of a certain lawyer who came to Jesus, and he wanted to know, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, well, you're a lawyer, you've studied the Torah, what does it say? Well, the man gave the right answer. He quoted from Deuteronomy 6 and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." And then he quoted from Leviticus 19 and said, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus looked at him and he said, "You know, you are right. That's exactly what the Word says. This do and you'll live." Then we find something very interesting. He wanted to argue. He wanted to justify himself. The man said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" He wanted to stay the way that he was. He didn't have an attitude of willingness to change and obey, so he couldn't grow in his understanding. You and I must have that attitude if we're going to grow in our understanding of God's Word. Now, in the second portion of this program, I want to give you more important keys, additional keys, that will really help you to understand the Bible in a far deeper and more profound way. But first, I want to offer you something that will be a great help to you in your study of God's Word. The Tomorrow's World Bible Study Course. It is a tool to help you study the Bible itself. It's actually designed to help you understand the Bible's timeless message. It'll help you to see the big picture. It'll ask questions and point you to the answers that are contained right in your own Bible. This Bible study course has lessons that will help you understand Bible prophecy. What is God like? Why were you born? Lessons on family relations and much, much more. We invite you to call or write for your own copy of the Tomorrow's World Bible Study Course right now.
The Bible study course offered on this program is yours absolutely free, no cost, no obligation, if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic. My friends, how is it possible for you to personally understand the Bible on a far deeper level? Our third key is to understand the Bible is the book of origins. Where did things actually start? You know, if you walk into a movie partway through, it's pretty hard to make sense of it, isn't it? Well, in the same way, when you understand this book, the Bible, to make sense of the Bible, you have to understand that God gives us in the Bible the story of origins. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." We're told that in the beginning was God. God created the universe. It's not simply the result of happenstance or chance. We're told a little further in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, that God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Mankind is not simply the result of the happenstance or chance of evolution. Rather, mankind was made in the image of God, the direct creation of the Almighty. This book, the Bible, tells you about the origin of human civilization. It tells you about the origin of the very family that God worked through. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the origin of the nation of Israel, and traces the history of that nation down through its pages. Now, in the New Testament, the book of John is a book that also focuses very much on origins. John opens in John chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." We're told further in verse 14 that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, John wrote, "the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You know, the book of John is a very good place to start. If you've never read the Bible, it'll give you an overview of Jesus Christ and the teachings that he had. Key number four, the Bible is a book of law. It contains an entire way of life. Psalm 119 and verse 97. Oh, how love I your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies. Verse 99. I have more understanding than my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. He went on to say in verse 104, through your precepts I get understanding. Verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible illuminates a whole pattern of life, a whole way of life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, there the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, he said, don't think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy, but to fulfill, to fill it up to the very full. Jesus Christ went on then to magnify the principles of God's law. You know, the very purpose of the law is to point out what is sin. Romans chapter 7 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul said that the law is holy. The commandment is holy and just and good. He explained in verse 7 of Romans chapter 7, he said, I had not known sin, but by the law. I hadn't known lust, except the law said, you shall not covet. In other words, the law defines what is sin. That's what we're told in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Sin is the transgression of the law. The only alternative is simply situation ethics. Everyone merely does that which is right in his own eyes. The fifth key is that the Bible is a book of history. Maybe you think that history is sort of dull and uninteresting. Well, frankly, a lot of people think that. Very few people study history. They don't learn the lessons of history, and as a result, the same mistakes are made over and over from generation to generation. You know why the Bible contains so much history? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul brings that out. He says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6, now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Don't be idolaters like some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. He recounts various incidents that are recorded, particularly here from the book of Numbers. And notice he said in verse 11, now all these things happened to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the age are come. You see, the Bible contains a great deal of history, but that history is written for a purpose. It is to help us by way of example to understand what life is about, to understand the results of obedience to God, to understand the results and the consequence of disobedience. You know, my friends, history and prophecy are the same thing, simply seen from different directions. Prophecy is history recorded in advance. Now, the sixth key ties in with that. Key number six, the Bible is a book of conclusions. You know, my friends, the future is not simply up for grabs. It's not simply a matter of, well, who knows what will happen? Who knows what the future will bring? Rather, the statement is made, the Almighty God states, here in Isaiah chapter 46, I am the Lord, he says, I declare the end from the beginning. From the very beginning, the Creator God has laid out his plan and his purpose. He has declared the end from the very beginning. Daniel talked about this in Daniel chapter 2. Notice what Daniel had to say of the great God. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20. Daniel writes, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. In verse 28, Daniel writes, "But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." The Bible is a book of conclusions. You know, the book of Revelation in many ways serves to correspond to the book of Genesis. Just as Genesis tells you origins, the book of Revelation emphasizes the conclusion of the matter. Revelation chapter 1, we're told that it is the book, the revelation, the unveiling, that's what the word actually means, that is translated revelation, the revelation or the unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Why? To show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So the Bible is a book of conclusions. A seventh key to understanding what the Bible is all about, key number 7. The entire Bible points to Jesus Christ. It points to his role. It points to his message. We have an incident that is recorded in the book of Luke. It occurred after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, after he had been raised from the dead and he appeared to his disciples. Notice what we're told in Luke 24, 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Notice Luke 24, 44. He said unto them, "These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Jesus Christ defined the Scriptures as consisting of the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms. The threefold division is preserved by the Jewish community. Jesus also made the statement recorded in John chapter 5, John 5:39. He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Jesus said the Scriptures testify of him. He went on to say in verse 46, "For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. If you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" Jesus Christ emphasized that the Bible, the Scriptures, pointed toward him. That's a very important key to understand as you read the Bible and try to make sense of it. Again, my friends, let me invite you to request our free Tomorrow's World Bible Study Course. It is a tool that will help you to study and understand the Bible itself. It will ask questions and then point you to the answers that are contained right in your own Bible. It'll give you the Scriptures. You can look them up and read them right out of your own Bible. It deals with a wide variety of topics. It deals with Bible prophecy, telling us about our time and the times immediately ahead of us. What is God like? Why were you born? Lessons on family relations and much, much more. We invite you to call or write for your own copy of the Tomorrow's World Bible Study Course right now.
The Bible study course offered on this program is yours absolutely free, no cost, no obligation, if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Remember, my friends, it's possible for you to not only merely read the Bible, but to actually make sense of the Bible. Now, remember the keys that we gave you on this program. Key number one is the importance of your attitude, a humble, teachable attitude as you approach God's Word. Key number two is the importance of obedience to God. Our third key is to understand the Bible is the book of origins. Key number four is to understand that the Bible is also a book of law. Key number five, the Bible is a book of history containing examples for us. A sixth key is that the Bible is a book of conclusions. The future is not simply up for grabs. Key number seven is to understand that the entire Bible points to Jesus Christ, to His role and His message. Why did God actually give us the Bible? In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, "From a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." God gave us the Bible to point us to salvation through Jesus Christ. That is one very important reason why the Bible was given. A second one is contained in verse 16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." The Bible is written to equip us for the task of discipleship, to show us an entire way of life. Now, in addition to that, a third reason that God gave us the Bible is to offer clear hope so that we don't lose heart or become discouraged. In Romans chapter 15, in verse 4, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." My friends, it's possible for you to not only read the Bible, but to make sense of the Bible. Our Tomorrow's World Bible Study course will really help you do that. Be sure to tune in each and every week at this very same time when Roderick Meredith, Richard Ames and I will be bringing you more of the truth of the Bible and of the good news of tomorrow's world.
The Bible study course offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org.